Hey guys, Nick Burnett here. Just wanted to kind of give some information on why I joined the Patreon, why I'm part of the Dynasty Warzone team. Downloaded the Dynasty Warzone podcast. It took one day, joined the Patreon, reached out to Memphis about a situation with one of my rosters. And the kind of feedback I got was, hey, Nick, why don't you give me a call? We went down my roster and he helped me pull off a couple moves that put me ahead when I thought I was going to be in rebuild mode this year. And that's just part of what comes with the Patreon. Trade talks, just good interaction with guys that love fantasy football. Whether it's 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always going to be fantasy football talk, whether it's redraft, whether it's dynasty. I joined a couple leagues with the Patreon members, and it's the same thing. Even while we're drafting, we're still shooting ideas at each other. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, pause the podcast now, join the Patreon, and join a great fantasy football group, but more like a fantasy football family.
Hello, neighbors. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your contractor. It is Memphis. You can find me on Twitter at DWZMemphis. And it feels so damn good to be back here with you guys. We had a little technological malfunction. I had to have my buddy Matty Big Chest jump on with me last weekend to get some content out for you guys, but I feel back. We are back and better than ever. And tonight, I've got him. We're talking about his perfectly constructed rebuild. My man Dustin, I'm going to grab him in just a second, but I am going to make this open as quick as I need to make it, and I want to hit you with tons of hot stuff going on in the world of Memphis and what's going on. First of all, Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor t-shirts. That's right, t-shirts. You want to get the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor t-shirt, or you just want one that says Dynasty Happy Hour. You can rep all the shows. You can rep the flagship with Tim, Tyler, and Doug. You can represent the Devi Happy Hour. You can represent them all by going over and checking out our friends at Viridian Global. That is Viridian Global, Viridian Global. And man, they have got Dynasty Happy Hour t-shirts. They've got Dynasty Warzone t-shirts. And the coolest part is that if you spend $75, you get free shipping. So you don't have to buy all Dynasty Happy Hours to get the shipping. You don't have to buy all Dynasty Warzones to get the shipping. You can mix and match. I can speak to the Dynasty Warzone. I know we have hoodies. We have Raglans. Raglans are your old school baseball style shirt with the white body and the colorful sleeves. We have two logos, working on a third for the Warzone. So, but you can get one with the cool blueprint in the background, Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, by going over to Viridian Global. Again, that is Viridian, Viridian Global, and get that hooked up. Talk about some stuff we got going on over at the Warzone real quick before we get Dustin. Our Devi show. And our Devi show is not like the Devi Happy Hour here on the Dynasty Happy Hour family of pods. Ours is a bit of a transition show. You have the hardcore guys like the Devi Happy Hour, like the Devi Marketplace. But then you have a show like ours. Ours is really focused on the guys who are still in college, but will be draft eligible in 2021. It's the bridge, if you will, from the hardcore Devi leagues to the Dynasty leagues. And I'm a customer because I don't get a lot of opportunity on the weekends to watch college football. It's kind of a trade-off with my family. I watch so much pro football that the trade-off is family time's on Saturday. So I don't have a chance to do it. So I rely on guys like Kane Fasel, like Josh Deisinger, like Shane Hallam, and like my co-host over at the Warzone, Jerry. It's a once-a-month show. And we're going to talk this week, because I'm the producer of the show, we're going to talk about the return of the SEC. We're going to talk about what's going to look like with the return of the Big Ten and how that impacts these guys' value going into your rookie drafts in 2021. Also over at the Warzone, we have been keeping the Warzone just what it is, just Dynasty. No Devi, no gambling, no player props. That's its own show. That's the Fabulous Big Bet on Thursdays. We have a Devi show. We have a Dynasty show. We have a gambling show. We have all the shows. And then all of this is available also on our YouTube stream. You go to YouTube, The Dynasty Warzone, and subscribe. Every Monday, you get what we call Dynasty Table Talk with our man, Matty Big Chest. You can follow him on Twitter at Matty Big Chest. And he jumps on, he covers some Dynasty nuggets, maybe some guys worth picking up on the waiver wire. Then on Tuesday, Matty and our staff physician, Dr. Kyle, he is a doctor of physical therapy. They jump on Tuesday. This past Tuesday, they cut a 40-minute YouTube about all the injuries, what's going on. Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights around 9:30, we do the Dynasty Warzone on Tuesday. We do the Fabulous Big Bet on Wednesday. And then somewhere on Friday or Saturday, the good doctor will give us an injury update. And then on Saturdays, I do what I like to call a few Dynasty Minutes with Memphis. Maybe my wife's taking a nap and she doesn't know I'm sneaking down to the podcast cave. Maybe I do it from my phone. But it's anywhere from 8, 10, 12 minutes, just some Dynasty thoughts rolling around my my dome here. And last thing, a big thank you from me to you guys. I can see the reviews over on Apple for the Dynasty Happy Hour. And when I see my name in the Dynasty Happy Hour reviews for that feed, it makes me extremely grateful and extremely proud. That tells me I'm bringing value to my friends over the Dynasty Happy Hours network of podcasts. It means an absolute ton to me. So you can follow me on Twitter, again, DWZ Memphis. You can email the show. It's DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. And you can follow me on the show on Instagram and Twitter at Dynasty Warzone. And that's really about it, guys. We have the t-shirts going on. If you listen to the Dynasty Warzone, you'll see I've linked up with an apparel brand called Hate Brand Goods. That's thehviii.com. It's athletic apparel. It's joggers. It's athleisure is the technical term. You can wear it to the gym, or you can wear it to the grocery store, or you can wear it walking down the street. It has all the fashion and style that you would want without, you know, the Nike swoosh or whatever. It's different. I like it. It stands out in a crowd. And you can see the link to that over on my Twitter at The Dynasty Warzone. But let's get a quick word from one of our other sponsors, the folks over at Trophy Smack, and then I will get you Dustin, as promised. Gonna do one more live edition of The Contractor. I've got a very special Aussie to take care of. And then we'll get back to those follow-ups. It's just going to mean more live, more contractor for you, the listener. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for those ratings and reviews. If you've already done one for the Dynasty Happy Hour, you can go do one for the Warzone. And if you got a Dynasty trade question, don't tell anybody. But if you leave us a 5-star, and in the comments you just put your trade, I'll answer that sumbitch right live on the Dynasty Warzone as soon as next week. So if you got a trade, you got a Dynasty trade you need my help with, you want me to do it for free, no problem. Give us that 5-star at the Dynasty Warzone. Put your trade in the comments and I will answer that for you. Get you in the game. I tell you who else has got us in the game. It's Trophy Smack. It's Dustin. Let's get it. Let's go. All right. As always, big thank you to our sponsors over at Trophy Smack. Again, best trophies and belts in the game today. When you use the promo code DWZRING, you get the free championship ring, a $59.99 value to go along with your belt or trophy as long as you use the code at checkout. Now, here he is. I promise this time, here he is. His name is Dustin. He is so kind to join me again. One day we're going to find and release the Mystery Archive bootleg tapes. But Dustin, thanks for coming back on with me, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me back. It's kind of like a bonus session. So,
yeah, because what's interesting is that we recorded this about three or four weeks ago, if I remember correctly. And looks like you've done some stuff in the interim. We'll jump into what's been going on here in a minute, but I want to get the listener the particulars of your league. So just real quick, how many owners are in this league? What are the scoring formats? Superflex, tight end premium. Just give us a quick rundown.
Sure. So it's a 12 team. It's full point PPR Superflex. It is tight end premium. It's 1.5 tight end premium. And then it also has 0.25 per carry as well.
Nice. Well, that's not too bad, except when we start talking about your running backs here in just a bit. Now, what kind of league is this? Now, like some leagues are what I call internet or Twitter leagues, where you meet the people online. Maybe it's a safe league ran by our buddy Scott Fish. Could be like a fantasy footballers league. Where did you meet these? Maybe it's like an old fraternity league. I've had, you know, people from, you know, college or high school keeping their league together. What kind of league is this, and what's the current activity level like now that we're in season?
So this league is a double spinoff league. It came from the fantasy football fellas alumni league that I was in for a couple years, and Kyle reached out to us and he wanted to start a reality sports online league. So we got some guys of friends of his, Mike Jernigan, some of his crew, and then he picked up some people that he had a good time with and in some of the alumni fellas leagues, and we did the reality sports online, and we all kind of dove into that, and we did that back in, I don't know, that would have been April, like right when COVID stuff hit, and everyone was kind of bored, so we did that, and then after we got done with the RSO draft, everyone was like, hey, let's do another one, and so a bunch of the guys from there got started. A guy named John, who's in that league with us, said he'd commission run the league, and so we put this together through there. So it's a bunch of the guys through the fellas and a couple of their friends and a couple of my friends from my home leagues.
Oh, that's awesome. I can speak to personal firsthand knowledge of that Kyle and Jernigan fella, and those are good people. So good to know. So that tells me your league is at least moderate with good active owners. You know, and why did you want to come on? I mean, first of all, I kind of know this, but I want to get the listener up to speed. What is your reasoning for wanting to talk through this roster with me?
So I've been doing fantasy for like 16, 17 years now, and Dynasty is going on my sixth or seventh year. And so got a pretty good overview of fantasy and Dynasty, but this team, as you guys will see, turned out a little bit different, and I have never had a team quite like this. And it was coming towards the end of the contractors, and I was like sitting here with this team, and it had been a couple months. I'm like, I haven't done anything with it yet, and I kind of just don't know where to go. So I thought it'd be a perfect thing to get some help on a direction to go with it.
Well, awesome. I'm looking at your roster right now. I've got it all written out. I've got some potential guys to trade. I've got some people that we want to build around. So I'm really excited to talk about this roster. No, this is not a win now roster in my, it could be, it very well could be if you were to acquire a couple of pieces, but in some areas of this build, man, you are stacked. You are in great shape. You've got, I always call them tent poles, or, you know, like foundation pieces, whatever term you use. You've got, you know, an amazing tight end group. I really like your wide receivers, your quarterbacks. You got a little bit of everything, and your running backs have a lot to be desired. So let's just start with the quarterbacks. I'll just read them off. You have got, let's start with the youngest. Let's start with Joe Burrow, who has looked amazing through a game and a half. And amazing, maybe amazing is not the right term, but I'm certainly impressed with Joe Burrow. Deshaun Watson recently got paid there in Houston. I'm a little concerned about his lack of a true number one wide receiver. But in fairness to him, he has played two really good teams the first 2 weeks of the season in KC and in Baltimore. And then Matt Stafford. He hasn't exactly picked up where he left off last year, but he is getting Kenny G back. So how did you amass such an impressive quarterback room?
Well, I did go towards the end of the draft, so I had the 11th pick. So it came up to the 11th pick, and most of the top guys at running back and wide receiver are gone. So I wanted to go ahead and grab up Watson there. So I grabbed him, and then it came back around to the end of the third round, and that's where I grabbed Burrow. And then Matt Stafford fell all the way down to the sixth round, and I kind of grabbed him right as there was a quarterback run going on.
Man, I tell you, kudos to you. Great job with these quarterbacks. Now this will sound odd, and I do like having three really good quarterbacks, especially when one of them is a very mobile quarterback. Now, Daniel Jones, I don't know, he's mobile, but Deshaun Watson runs. Now, he's not Lamar Jackson, but I like having three. Now, before we move into other positions, would you be willing to move one of these guys for maybe a less sexy, a less upside QB3, but maybe you could get something in return if you were to, say, move off of Matthew Stafford? Would that be something you would entertain?
Yeah, I was actually – I had some inquiries into Joe Burrow the other day, but that was kind of my thought with grabbing the three quarterbacks was I could grab these three and, I mean, what, there was, you know, 40-something starting quarterbacks last year. So I figure once those quarterbacks started getting injured that with it being 12 teams and, you know, everyone has two, maybe three quarterbacks that I could definitely use some desperation time to flip some of these quarterbacks. And then, you know, if I have to pick up another rookie next year with the first round picks, I could, you know, pick up a rookie then.
Sure. Well, we'll get to that. We'll talk about some potential trades in a minute. Let's go to another area of some really big strength, and that is your wide receiver core. So I'm just going to read the big names first, and then I'll just kind of fill in the rest. So the big names, as I see it, rookie Bryan Edwards. I think he's got a real Terry McLaurin vibe, just a professional. Really like him. Darius Slayton looks to be the true number one in New York. Sterling Shepard already hurt. That didn't really concern me. He and Daniel Jones have a real connection, and I am a big, big fan. Stephon Diggs having a career resurgence. So here's a funny stat that I heard on the radio today. Actually, it was the Dream Preview podcast with RJ Bell. So did you know that Kirk Cousins, his QBR rating, which is the metric that Vegas uses to measure quarterbacks, did you know that Kirk Cousins' QBR is down 13 points? And to put that in perspective, 52 is average. So I don't know exactly what Kirk Cousins was, but I know that he's down a fourth of what average would be. And then Josh Allen, he is up like 40 points in QBR. So you see the impact of a guy like Stephon Diggs very quickly when I started hearing those stats. That's got to make you feel good. Preston Williams, he's already scored in the Thursday night game. Then you got a couple of guys who are on IR. One would be Cortland Sutton. He's on IR, as in like not coming back the rest of 2020. And then you have Debo Samuel, who is on the three-week IR, could be back as soon as week four. And then one other guy that I want to mention as someone that I'm interested in is Olabisi Johnson. Some people call him BC, B-I-S-I, and I am a fan. I like this guy. I talked about him as a potential big, a guy who could really see his work share go up next year because the Vikings continue to spend money like it's going out of style. And unless Thielen, man, unless he redoes that contract, I think they owe him like 14 million bucks. And I just don't know how they pay everybody. And then you got a bunch of other like journeyman types. You got ESB, Equanimeous St. Brown, Kelvin Harmon, Mike Thomas, not the good Mike Thomas, but the Mike Thomas in Cincinnati. Isaiah Ford, who had 7 catches last week against Buffalo. Justin Watson, Zay Jones, and Scotty Miller. So how many wide receivers and how many flex spots do you have in this league?
So we start the 3 wide receivers, and then we have the 2 flex spots.
Okay, and so at some point, due to your lack of running back depth, I don't want to give away the surprise at the end of the show, but you've probably had to flex in a lot of wide receivers into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there at times. And then let's go to your tight ends, another group that I absolutely am a huge fan of. You got Mo Alie-Cox, who had an interesting game in week 2. Bryson Hopkins, to me, he's the guy most likely to be the man behind the man in L.A. The Rams have re-signed Tyler Higbee. They have not extended a contract to Gerald Everett. And I think they drafted Bryson Hopkins to be their tight end, too, starting in 2021. You have James Oshag Hennessy. If you get that reference, we can totally be friends. Caden Smith, a guy who... We'll find out if Evan Engram can stay healthy, but I really like him in year 2. He's a great taxi squad guy. Just an absolutely awesome taxi squad guy because he's in year 2 And on this roster, you've also got Thaddeus Moss. But then let's get to this big three of tight ends. Holy smokes, mister. You got my personal favorite, George Kittle. My second favorite, TJ Hockenson. And then a guy that is an absolute Twitter darling, and that is Dallas Goedert. Again, very similar question to your wide receivers. How did you amass so much talent? Was it just letting the board come to you, figuring out, hey, I'll just take the best player available and figure out the next move? How did you get here?
I got to my second pick, the second pick in the second round, and George Kittle was there. And I mean, I liked some of the guys there, but I don't own any George Kittle in any of my dynasty leagues. And I mean, I'm a fan of Kittle as a player, as a guy. Like, he's just fun to watch. My mom, a bunch of my family are Niners fans, and so he's just always been one of my favorite to watch. And I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna get him and get a piece of him here. And since it's tight end premium, I figure, you know, if I have to flip him later, he's gonna be worth a king's ransom. And so went with that, and then it got all the way down. It went pretty far. Hawk went all the way down to the 10th round.
That's criminal. That if you know the police codes, that's a 211, man. That's a robbery in progress. That is a great value in a tight end premium. Forget tight end premium. That's a great value in a regular PPR tight end format. And to steal that man in the 10th round, I say kudos. All right. So before we start talking about potential moves, we do have to talk about the dumpster fire. And this may be offensive to dumpster fires everywhere, but what the hell? I'm going to do it anyway. Let's talk Carlos Hyde, DJ Dallas. Now, Darrington Evans I do like, and Tennessee has not exactly been in game scripts yet where they've had to lean on Darrington Evans, but you're going to see this guy at some point sooner or later because I think he's talented. They've had the ghost of Jeremy McNichols out there, Stately Wayne Gollum and Daryl Williams. I was really hoping Daryl Williams would have had more of a role going into the season, but he's been okay. I mean, he's a Hail Mary deep flex play, but so everything else is so good, man. You got everything in place to build a really, and long term, again, your quarterbacks, you got something old, something new, something brand new. And you know, tight ends, you got, you know, two of my top four or five tight ends in the league, great wide receivers. And then I look at your running back group here, and I think I need like some Pepto-Bismol. What happened, man?
So I went early with Watson and then Kittle, and then it came back around and got Burrow. And at that point I was like, well, I've already kind of punted the running back position, and I really didn't like what was there. And so that's when I kind of made the decision to kind of go with a productive struggle kind of team and just kind of punt the running back. And so I traded away my fourth round pick and traded back to start grabbing some bonus picks in the rookie draft. And so, I mean, it just kept going and the value just kept falling with all those, you know, with Matt Stafford and Hockenson and Goddard, and those guys just kept falling. Stephon Diggs, they all kind of fell into my lap. And you know, I just was like, I'm just going to roll with it and we'll figure out the running backs later. And and I did have one there too. And I did pick up Josh Kelly in the draft.
Oh, nice. Nice. I do remember that conversation. So I want to make sure that I do my due diligence and give credit where credit is due. Josh Kelly was one of mine. Now, do you have James Robinson on this team? I know we talked before I hit record that you have some James Robinson.
No, this is pretty much the only team I don't have James Robinson on.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, then, I mean, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, this is a team that's a couple. I didn't realize Josh Kelly was on the roster. This is a team that is a couple of running backs away, especially with all the injuries we've had at the position, a couple of injuries away from being really, I mean, a legit contender. Now, do you have your own 2021 first?
I do, yeah. I have my first and my second still, yeah.
Do you have anyone else's first?
I have a bunch of them.
Okay, so how many do you have in total?
So I came out of the draft with three firsts total and 2 seconds total.
Wow.
And then I talked about Josh Kelly. I do not have Josh Kelly anymore because he's one of the pieces that I just recently flipped for another pick.
Okay, that makes sense. Why, when you resent me your lineup again, for those that are, you know, maybe, you know, this is not like radio, so you're not tuning in live, but Josh Kelly was here, now he's gone. Not that it makes a difference. So I have to assume at this point you're committed to just riding out the rest of 2020 with just getting through the season, having fun, playing some Dynasty, talking some trash with the fellas, and you know, just planning for 2021. That's what that's the feel I get.
Yeah, that's the plan. I also did draft Jerick McKinnon, and I shipped him off this week too. So,
hey, no time. Well, first of all, thank you for being cognizant and aware enough to strike when the iron's hot. I'm still the guy that remembers that Jerick McKinnon was, you know, not really much of a thing, and then last week, when everybody else got hurt, he was still used sparingly. So I think Jerick McKinnon will have a role, but I think I really think you may see quite a bit of him. But from what I've read, this is not really like a redraft podcast, but I do want to say that there's a lot of apprehension from what I've read about the 49ers and putting their players back out on that field in MetLife Stadium, that they feel like that turf is sticky and is what led to some of the injuries they had last week when they played the Jets, which is why they stayed on the East Coast. A little side note. So you may not see a lot of these guys. So it means Jerick McKinnon may get a good game. So those of you listening before the start of week 3, now is a great time to potentially move on Jerick McKinnon, or you can wait and, you know, gamble a little bit and, you know, see what's going on. Now, what is your current record? I would assume, based on the beauty that you have at the running back position, you're probably 0-2?
So in this league, we actually play the 2 games a week, so we play against the median as well.
Okay.
And so I should totally be 0-4 right now, mm-hmm. but Mr. Zay Jones won a game for me with that touchdown.
Nothing worse than trying to tank, doing it all the way right. You know what? I'm going to put Zay Jones in my lineup. What's the worst that could happen? Well, I guess Zay Jones could score a touchdown. So let's, now that we've got a good flavor and a good feel of what you know have on this roster. Now, is there any gentleman's agreement, a group-wide agreement, that a dynasty GM in this league has to start their best roster? Or are you cool as long as you just start a roster?
Well, we've just been, you know, I've just been starting my scrubs and, you know, guys here and there. And
isn't that fun? Pretty much it.
Oh, yeah.
I have a league where I'm starting some combination of Ito Smith and Adrian Peterson at my RB1 and 2. And it's the exact same setup as in this league. I've got 4 firsts. I've got McLaren. I've got Sutton. I've got Debo. I've got DJ Moore. Very similar. I've got Justin Herbert and Derek Carr. But I've got 4 firsts and 2 seconds in that league, and I'm doing the exact same thing. Now, I don't have anywhere near the tight end room that you do. And what I like about your tight ends is that you have, again, one of the most valued pieces in Dynasty at the tight end, especially in tight end premium, and that's George Kittle. I looked as we were, you know, chatting beforehand in the Dynasty trade calculator. And just for personal reference for anyone who's curious, that is the only trade, the only real tool of that magnitude that I trust. Now, is it the end-all, be-all, and everything that you run through it has to line up? No, it's a ballpark. You know, get me in Wrigley Field with this thing, and I'm very happy to, you know, use it. I sent a trade earlier where, according to the calculator, again, I just want to make sure I'm close. I was the quote-unquote loser of the trade by 5%, but I trust my own valuations too. And by using the calculator, George Kittle, man, To quote some running backs that are actually worth a little less than him that I would be interested in, you've got Josh Jacobs, you have got Miles Sanders. Actually, both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor are worth less in the calculator. That's one that I don't think you're pulling off, But do you think in this league that it may be tough right now because Kittle hasn't been on the field? Kind of that, you know how life is, man, out of sight, out of mind. But do you think that if you were to put Kittle on the block that you may get some action from these guys?
Maybe. Like I said, I'm worried that him not being out there is going to, you know, not garnish the best value right now. And I'm not in a super big rush. I'm a patient guy. I got all season. So, I mean, I'm not in a super big rush to put it out there. You know, once he comes back and he's healthy, maybe not this week, maybe the week after, and he puts up a big game, I'm sure people will be drooling over him.
So for all the listeners that are just sitting back enjoying our conversation, first of all, thank you for tuning in. Super appreciate it. And I know Dustin does as well. But listen to this man. Did you hear him? He's patient. He does not have to do this today because he's waiting for Kittle to have a good game. Because when you're in a full rebuild, as this man is, there will be time to make these moves in week 6, in week 7, coming off of a good game. I love it. I would rather move Kittle because the amount of return you will get for him based off of his name is going to be about 2.5 times what you would get for Hockenson. And I love Hockenson. Hockenson looks to be George Kittle-esque. It must be something in the cornfields of Iowa. They feed him out there. Another guy, but I think you have to keep, because you got to have a backup tight end. And the Dallas Goedert, has anyone ever kicked any tires on him and then said, hey, man, is he available? Well, what's been the interest in Goedert, just out of curiosity more than anything else?
I haven't had any interest in Goedert. I have had a couple people hit me up for Hockenson already.
What kind of offers have you had for Hawk? Just again, just to kind of fill the listener in, it's one thing to like talk hypotheticals on the Dynasty Warzone, my other podcast. It's another thing to talk about real trades with real owners and real leagues. So do tell.
So I had kind of like a mixed trade, looking at something with Hawk and Burrow kind of together. But it was more the guy that was looking to trade with me did not have any 21 picks. He was looking to do some 22 picks for it, and I wasn't super into that. And it was more like Burrow and Hockenson for a 21 first and a 22 second and then another player on top of it. So he was looking to do like a package deal kind of thing, but I didn't think the value was quite right on, you know, throwing Hawk in as an add-on to a Burrow trade. Didn't really feel correct.
That's not even in, I talked about getting in the ballpark earlier. That's not even in Chicago. Forget Wrigley Field. You're not even in what the cool kids from Indiana where I live, you know, call the region. You know, you're like in Louisville on your way to Chicago. Not even close. Those are the two that I would be looking, because your team is young. And I love George Kittle, but I think he's 26, will turn 27 in season, which is very young in tight end years. But we know, we've already seen the shoulder injury. We now have this knee thing. It's not a big deal. But he plays a very violent style of football. And he just will command so much for this young roster that he would be the one that I would be looking to move the most. But all three of these guys carry very big value. And if another tight end were to go down and you know, double that down with someone coming off of a good game, that could be your best time to strike. All right, let's talk about wide receivers. So you have to start three, and you're obviously going to need to flex some at some point. You know, again, I love Bryan Edwards. I love Slayton and Sutton and Debo. Well, I don't think that you would want to move Sutton or Debo, especially as a rebuilder, because you would lose value. Why not just wait? Yeah. Why not just wait until next year when you're ready to compete with those two? The one, though, I would actually consider moving, even though I love him, is I would consider moving Stephon Diggs. He's had a career resurgence in the first 2 weeks of the season. He has made Josh Allen look tremendous. And, he's done it against a couple of, I don't know, I guess the Jets are a shit show. But he's done it, you know, against some decent teams. So let's jump into some other guys. Again, I would be looking to move Diggs, Kittle, Burrow, but I would honestly rather move Stafford. It sounds like you're going to have the 101, 102, or 103. Does that feel accurate?
Yeah, that's right now there's one other team that's done productive struggle, and actually we actually play each other, so it's going to be a battle of the losers. I got James O'Shaughnessy going in my tight end slot right now, so.
Oh, James O'Shag Hennessy. I like him quite a bit. So, I mean, for right now, I think if you jump in the market too heavily and start, you know, mixing it up too much, you could lose value, because it's very in vogue right now in Dynasty to be out there making deals, getting crazy, and the market's saturated right now. It's what I would call a buyer's market in Dynasty. So that would be my one thing. I would just lay back, let some of the because I hope you don't think so, but I don't think the injuries are over, do you?
Oh, not by any means.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot more, and there's gonna be a contender. And now, does this league have a trade deadline? I would assume that it does. It may not.
I believe it does. I think it's either 1 or 2 weeks before. I think it's 2 weeks before the playoffs.
Yeah, most weeks, JD of the world famous Goat District, JD and I created a system that works for us for a trade deadline in the Goat Leagues. So once the playoffs start, like the minute, I think it's week 13, I wasn't prepared to talk about this, but it's a good conversation piece. Once week 13 starts, then only non-playoff teams can trade, and the trade goes through. Now, if you're in the playoffs and I'm not, you and I can make a trade, but because the league has been reset back to commissioner must approve the trade, he does not approve any trades until both owners are out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It allows the action to continue, but it also prevents major crazy trades.
Arms race.
it does, which can hurt a rebuild guy like you. But it's week two, we're going into week three, and you have until week, you know, 12 or 13, you have time to make moves. So I think you're doing the right thing, and I cannot champion enough your patience as a rebuilder, because when you look at a roster like this, Diggs is off to a good start, Slayton's off to a good start, Sutton and Debo, some bad luck with some injuries, Kittle the same. But you got Hawk, you got Goddard, you got good quarterbacks. I mean, this is the kind of team that you could have band-aided together. And this is when people get weird. You know, you get competitive and your pride starts messing with you a little bit. And you start squinting. You start squinting at your roster. You ever do this? You squint at your roster and you're like, man, if I just added like a Devin Singletary, I could win this thing. And most of the time, you're not a Devin Singletary away from winning the league. You know, you're much further out than that. So I definitely want to commend and champion your patience. But man, I think you're doing some very good stuff. So what other questions do you have for me before we start taking this one home?
Yeah, like I talked about when we, you know, recorded before, I kind of was asking, with this kind of team, when should I start trading? When should I start striking? And, you know, you kind of were like, well, just, you know, start now, don't wait on it. And so that's kind of why, you know, I started making some moves and doing some stuff. And, we just actually had, we had McCaffrey, got traded, this week. And I was in on the negotiations to get McCaffrey. But I got beat out on it, but, you know, I was making a move even to get McCaffrey now, you know, to, you know, have him ready for for later.
Barkley would be another guy I would inquire about. I would look at the Barkley owner. And I want to go back to your quarterbacks. I do apologize because I wanted to talk about them before we venture off into the sunset and call this one a show. I would be going to the Baker Mayfield owner, the Sam Darnold owner, the Kirk Cousins owner, the Derek Carr owner, because those are all guys that I do not mind having as my QB3. I don't want to be relying on them as my starter each and every week. I would not be afraid to approach the Jared Goff owner. Now, he is coming off of a 3-touchdown game, so your timing could be poor. Maybe after week three, when he has a could be a tough outing against Buffalo, You know, that might be a time to say, hey, you know, if you want to upgrade your quarterback, I'm not talking about like an even one-for-one swap, but hey, if I gave you Burrow, what would you give me in return with Goff? So I give you Burrow, I want Goff plus. What plus would you throw in? Would you throw in a second? Would, you know, and maybe some people think, Memphis, that's crazy. I would never give up Burrow for that. Okay, I respect that opinion for sure, because I like Burrow too, but Jared Goff's been a QB 13 overall on the season or better 3 years in a row. I think it goes something like QB 9, 7, 13 the last 3 years. Guys, that's a QB 1, but he's not flashy. He's not interesting. He's not fun. But you know what Jared Goff has, Dustin? You know what Jared Goff has?
What's he got?
He's got Sean McVay as his head coach. He's got a big fat contract that means he's going to be the quarterback in LA for years to come, and they just re-signed all of his best weapons. They just extended Cooper Kupp. They just extended Bob Woods. Tyler Higbee's under contract for 2 more years, and they actually have draft picks going forward. And everybody keeps talking about, well, how do they keep paying everybody? They're starting in 2021 to have money come off the books. So he's the kind of guy that, yeah, I think maybe Joe Burrow could be QB 5 to 8. Am I willing to go back to QB 9 to 12 if I can get something in addition to? You bet your ass I am. Because you've already got a top 3 to 5 guy in Deshaun Watson. They'll figure stuff out there in Houston. So I think you have tons of negotiating pieces. I would just strategically, as players continue to get injured, if you like that player, like you talked about, you made some inquiries into CMC. Anyone that you think is done for the season, I would certainly reach out and say, hey, what's the value on that guy?
You know,
a guy like Miles Sanders or Josh Jacobs, maybe, because not all rosters or leagues are the same, maybe one of those guys happened to be on a really stacked, you know, roster that has a lot of good players, and maybe their quarterback situation's poop. Maybe you could trade one of these three guys straight up for a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a Jonathan Taylor. People may be saying that would never happen, but you never know until you ask, because if you actually run them through the calculator, they're all about the same value. And you've got the first round picks next year to replace your QB3, because you're going to be in a very interesting situation when if you have all three of these quarterbacks and you wind up with the 101, well, then what are you going to do? Well, you're going to be right back in the trade market. So you can make some the beautiful thing about is having assets and having desirable commodities like a Burrow and picks. You're going to be able to make decisions on when and how you move. And I think that's going to suit you real well for long-term success. And that could include up to as soon as next year. So I think you've done damn well for yourself.
Yeah, that's my goal, is to be ready to go next year. Even if once I get all those picks, I mean, picks are never worth anything in the most until you get to the draft. So, I mean, just because I have them, I mean, doesn't mean they have to be, you know, those rookies. That's the best time to move them for those, you know, for those solid veteran players. So I'm looking to either draft the guys or strike during the draft. And that's what I'm looking to make my push is for 2021.
See, you got your head screwed on right. You know exactly what your plan is. I again, it's beautiful. And you have the world, where you want it, man. So hopefully this league stays together and you can dominate. What other questions can I answer for you?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, we covered kind of all my spots and all my questions. And I think, you know, this is a good group of guys and it's pretty active. Everyone chats in the groups, and there's been, you know, I think 4 trades have gone through since week before the season. So trades getting up there, and every time I've sent out a trade, they, you know, someone always responds, gets back, sends a counter. So it's a good group of guys, good league. So it should work out for, you know, what I'm looking to do to plan for next year. So
that's all. I'm going to leave you with 2 things. Out of everything that you have on this roster, the only thing guaranteed to accrue more value between now and May are those rookie picks. Any one of these guys could have an ACL and their value would tank. But those rookie picks are only going to go up in value, and it's going to make the off season listening to shows like the Dynasty Happy Hour with Tim, Tyler, and Doug, and the Dynasty War Zone with me and Jerry and our Devi crew with Shane and Kane and Josh and all those fun guys. It's going to make that off season a lot more enjoyable for you. So listen, man, if you don't have anything else, I'm going to let you get on about your evening. I appreciate you jumping back on with me. And on behalf of my friend Dustin, who was kind enough to jump on again, I am Memphis. And remember, here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, the roster you have today, it's not a life sentence. We can help you fix it. We can rebuild it. We can make it better. But until next time, thanks to Dustin. Thanks to you for tuning in. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care, guys.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. I'm not golfing or slinging cans of Monster. I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal Dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.